I'm honored to have everyone here today. Thank you for coming. I realize, and you realize, this is about Jesus and not about me today. I'm a messenger. I'm a servant of the Lord. But I'm honored to have my mom and dad here. I thank God for my folks. I really do. As the older we get, the more we usually will appreciate, amen, what our parents have, whether you didn't agree with everything they did or not, the investment that they have made into your life. Come on, everybody has received some good, amen, from their parents. And I've received a lot of good from my folks. My dad has been a good father to us boys. He hadn't beat us too badly. Yeah. Occasional involuntary twitch, but, you know, other than that. And my mom, they balance each other out. My mom is just oozing with mercy and love. My dad's more of a prophet. But together, they've really honed each other out over the years. And they're a great team. They do prison ministry, and they're involved with their worship team. And my mom teaches, and so they're involved in the ministry. And even though they didn't know if I was even going to make it, you know, and my brother too, I mean, in life. But my mom's prayers, you know, even when I wanted to get in trouble, it was like those angels were there messing it up, you know. So thank God for parents like that, you know. I wanted to sin so bad sometimes, I just couldn't do it, you know. But God is good. God has a way. And you know, folks, never become weary in well-doing as you're sowing seeds into your children, investing in your brothers and sisters and those around you, praying for your parents even that may be unsaved. Never be weary in that, because your labor in the Lord is never in vain. It's never in vain. Your words are powerful. Your prayers, amen, are precious to the Lord. He expects that you and I will step into our priestly office on the earth as a priesthood, amen, a royal priesthood, that we might indeed pray on behalf of others, intercede, amen, on behalf of others, and so that the kingdom of God will come and the will of God will be accomplished in the lives of others, amen. So each one of us are privileged to be a part of the kingdom and to be able to do this. One of the most important things that we need to understand is that we are a temple. My body is a temple. Amen? And as a temple, I need to keep my temple pure. I need to keep it holy. Amen? I need to be very careful what I allow my body to do. Because my body is not my master. My body is my servant. But in some cases, people's bodies become their master. How many know what I'm talking about? We don't allow our bodies to become our master. You master your body. Amen? Fruit of the Spirit. By the power of the Lord, by the grace of God, we're able to have self-control, to control what we do in our body. Amen? And so we need to stay built up. We need to be strengthened in the Lord. We need to draw heavily from His grace. Amen? He's the one who sustains us. He's the one that gives us victory. He's the one that gives us overcoming ability. It's in Christ alone. It's not in my willpower. How many have discovered your willpower only goes so far? Some people have stronger wills than others, but eventually your willpower will let you down. Amen? It's not going to carry you. And certainly, as far as salvation is concerned, it has nothing to do with it. You can't will yourself into heaven. Amen? You can't work your way into heaven. You need to fall down at the feet of Jesus and cry out for His mercy, recognizing that we have all sinned and fallen short of His glory. And apart from the grace of God, we have no hope. It's by the grace of God, amen, by Christ alone, that we're able to come before our Father today and in confidence petition Him. And in confidence give glory and give praise and give thanksgiving to our Father. It's by the blood of Jesus that we are qualified to come before His holy presence. So important. There are many believers who in a lot of ways are unbelieving believers. And in some cases they actually teach unbelief in churches. And they're afraid of the manifestation of God's glory and of His presence and of His power and to heal. And so they actually in some cases speak against that. And yet Jesus has not changed. God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He's poured out His Holy Spirit, and He's pouring out His Holy Spirit right now upon all flesh. And yet there's two responses. There's those who will agree with the counsel of God and say, the counsel of God is good. I receive that. I receive your word, Lord. It's good. I agree with what you say. I come into agreement with what you say. And by doing so, I open a way in my heart for your grace to come in and fill me. But if I disagree with God's counsel, if I have rebellion and I just say, well, I agree with that, but I don't agree with you there, God. How many know he's smarter than we are? And it's a good idea to agree with his counsel and come into agreement. But if we do that, what we're actually doing is we're closing the door for Christ to come in. Amen? And dine with us, if you will. Remember again, Jesus was knocking at the door of Laodicea. It was a lukewarm church. It was Christians who had shut Christ out. And so he says, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, come into agreement with me, what I'm saying. As we repent, that means I change my mind and I align myself with God's mind, with his heart about the matter. All of us have been wise in our own understanding. We've had a better idea, you know, than what God had. And we learn sometimes through the difficulties and the hardships that we bring on ourselves because we simply didn't listen to God. God loves us. God has good plans for us. He has a future and a hope for you. He's not a hard taskmaster. As a matter of fact, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's actually a joy, amen, to walk in the Spirit. Amen. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we should be a joyful people. We should be walking in right standing as we do what? As we simply agree with what God says. Yes. I receive his word. I don't care if it goes counter to what my flesh may think. My flesh has to die. Amen. I have to agree with what God says because every time I deny, amen, God's entry into me by refusing to listen to his voice, I'm blocking out the grace of God that I need to stand. You and I cannot stand apart from the grace of God.
Amen.
And so we need to be in position for God to bless us. And how we get into position is through repentance. That is a very fundamental, basic teaching in the church. And yet, there are so many who have never even gotten to that point, and they're trying to build on shaky foundation. There are people who are trying to put a patch on an old garment. They never got into agreement with God in the first place. And they're going and they're listening to all this teaching and going to seminars and getting books and tapes. And they're getting all this stuff. And yet there's no repentance in the heart. And so there's no entrance of any of it. So they get intellectually big-headed. And they know a lot of stuff. And they can argue with you under the table. But there's no substance. There's no life. And so we need the presence of God. By agreeing with the word, the counsel of God, that his counsel is good for us. Hallelujah. So open this morning in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 27. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. I love his presence. Oh, how many know it's okay to feel good?
Yeah.
Repentance actually produces good feelings. To have peace with God. How many know that peace is a feeling? Don't overthink that. How many know that joy is a feeling? Your emotions line up with the true joy. Amen? Love is something you feel. Your emotions need to line up with the reality of who He is. In other words, emotions are not to be set on a shelf as if they're not important in your life. God created us as emotional beings. Why? Because he wanted us to be emotional beings. Right? Good enough reason? And so it's okay to get happy. It's okay to clap your hands, to shout, to dance, to rejoice before the Lord. We're going to talk about that this morning. Psalms 27. Psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? How many know that God is not afraid of anybody? So what we need is we need more of Him. And in order to have more of Him, we need to prepare a way for the Lord. When John the Baptist went out preaching, he said, prepare the way of the Lord, a highway for God. What was he talking about? He wasn't talking about literal highway, folks. He was talking about the heart. Get your heart in order, into agreement with what God says, to change or to correct or to move away from or to face. Change your heart. Change your thinking. Change your mind. Get into agreement with God, and you're opening a way for the presence of the Lord to come. And where He is, there is liberty. Where the presence of the Lord is, there is fullness of joy. In the presence of the Lord, there is perfect love, a love that casts out all fear. If we need to get fear out of our lives, then we need, amen, to open a way for a capacity for God to come and fill us with His love. There's something generally that we are allowing, whether it's a thought system where we're dwelling on the wrong things and we're allowing entrance of fear, or there's something that God is telling us that we need to turn away from and come into agreement with Him, so we're opening a way for His presence so that the fullness of God, amen, the grace of our Lord will be shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. The love of God. And when the love of God comes in, you have supernatural boldness. You can get happy and giddy and go just on your merry little way. And, you know, it doesn't matter what other people may be experiencing. It doesn't matter what the crowd may be doing. It's not, you know, you're not going to allow other people's opinions of you dictate who you are or control how you're going to live. You don't have to allow somebody's opinion of you to control the atmosphere that's in your heart. Because you are walking in agreement with God. And you have opened the way. And because you've repented, the Spirit of God comes and He fills your life. And He gives you supernatural love that casts out fear. And even though the world may crumble around you, you can stand in Christ. He is our foundation. He's our solid rock. So David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. What is he doing? He's making a confession of who he is in his life. How many know that we need to do that? We need to confess who he is. Jesus is my Lord. Remember the old song, Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. We're making a confession with our mouth of the reality of what God has said, the witness of God to our spirit by his spirit. We need to align ourselves with what God says. We need to speak what God says. Oh, I don't know about the word of faith. You need to speak what God is saying. You need to come into agreement with His Word. His Word is forever settled in heaven. His Word is living and powerful. His Word affects change. His Word changes everything. The entrance of His Word brings light. Light exposes darkness, drives out darkness. We need to understand the will of God, the heart of God, through His Word. When we receive the counsel of the Lord, we say it is good for me. The truth doesn't always feel good, but it's good for me. Medicine doesn't always taste good, but there's times when you need a good dose of medicine. Are you with me? Sometimes it's a bitter pill to swallow, but the results will be great. So it is with truth. It doesn't always feel good. And if you have an elementary understanding about truth and you want to pick and choose as a smorgasbord what God are you going to receive of God and what you're not going to receive of God, that's really immaturity. A child will go to a table and he'll eat the jello and he'll eat the desserts and he's going to stay away from the good stuff usually. That's really what he needs. But what we need is the full balance. Amen? We need the full balance of God's counsel. We need the full Word of God. Amen? Not just to hear the sweet things, but we need everything that God says to make us, so we'll become a well-rounded believer. Now, He said, when the wicked, verse 2, come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may arise against me, in this I will be confident. And in verse 4, he begins to say what that is. Number 1, David was a man after God's own heart. David obviously was not a perfect man, but it says God made no mention of him, that he was a man after my heart. Why was that? Because David was a worshiper. Thank God it's not here, but I've been in situations, and I'm not going to mention where, but recently we were in a place where we were in a wonderful, there was a wonderful visitation of the Lord. The Spirit of God was moving. There were certain people that were worshiping in full abandon as children becoming before their papa, you know, and not ashamed and not being controlled by the opinions of men and what will people think about me. But they were just getting lost in His love, lost in His presence. And then there are others who were just looking around and saying, what meaneth this, you know? And some were actually scowling and looking like, well, what kind of heresy is this? And you feel sorry for them because the enemy has lied to them. And he is robbing them from what could be theirs if they will come into agreement with the Spirit of God. And open their hearts so that God can come and fill them, amen, with His power, His presence. So David was not just a Sunday morning worshiper. His life was characterized by worship. How many find that to be true? How many have read about David? How many know the Psalms, or the majority of them, are written by David? He was a worshiper of God. He had created many instruments, musical instruments, and his life revolved around wanting to a yearning and a desire for the very presence of the Lord. He yearned for that presence. And in verse 4 he said, one thing I've desired of the Lord. And he said, that will I seek. Not everything gets dropped into your lap, folks. How many know that we need to seek the Lord? Yes. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. How many know that he wasn't just talking about an actual physical temple on the earth when he talked about the house of the Lord? Religious people and religionists taught us that we're going to the house of God. Now there's a place where we meet. It is a meeting house. This is actually a synagogue. Did you know that? It's not a church, it's a synagogue. We call it church, and it's okay to call it church, but we are the church, and this is the meeting house. And the meeting house should be cleansed, it should be set apart as a place that we say we're going to meet with the Lord here. But how many know that God does not live in temples made by hands? But He lives in the hearts of God's people. And we need to understand that, otherwise we begin to separate what we're doing here from out there. Well, we're going to do the prayer thing now. We're going to do the church thing now. We're going to do the praise thing now. And now that that's over, now I go do the secular thing now. Hello? We are carriers of His presence. Wherever we go, we are the church. We are the salt. We are the light. God wants to show up in your world. He wants to show up in your home. Amen? In your family, He wants to show up in your work assignment. He wants to show up wherever you are. He wants to manifest Himself so that people will know that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is indeed risen. He wants to bear witness to the reality of that, and He will confirm His word through signs and wonders and miracles. So He wasn't just talking about it. Even at that time, David knew there was much more than just a physical temple. He was after God's heart. That's why God says He's a man after my own heart. He sought the heart of God. God is looking for worshipers, those who will seek Him, those who will go after Him. Not those who just sit around and hope something happens, but those who will pursue Him, those who will chase after Him. Those who will desire Him. He desires to be desired. He wants to be wanted. And this is why we have wonderful fellowship here, because in the Spirit, because you have a hunger. Because when you come with an expectancy and anticipation that God's going to show up here and He's going to visit us and something new is going to take place in my heart. I come with that attitude. That's an attitude of faith. And God says, there's a heart that is open and yielded and available. We come with a heart that agrees with God. We come and say, God, whatever your counsel is for me today, whatever I got to do to get the stones out of the way, amen? I'm going to do it because I don't want anything to hinder me in my relationship with you. Because if I don't have your presence, if I don't have your relationship, because I'm walking in rebellion, I'm going to walk in weakness and fear. I'm going to walk in guilt. I'm going to walk in condemnation. I'm going to walk in shame. I need the presence of the Lord because it's His presence that completes me. And there are those who believe that they're there and they're not because they've never agreed with God and come by repentance through way of the blood to open the way for God to come in and transform them from the inside out so that indeed they can say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, repentance is absolutely essential. There is no such thing as salvation without repentance. And unless we agree with God, we're not opening, even as believers, we're shutting the door to certain places in our lives and our hearts often because we don't want to agree with God in that area. None of you have ever done that before, but I have. I thought, well, that's a good word, but oh, that one, I don't know if I like that. I'm just going to kind of skip over that part. And in the areas that we disagree, you're closing a door. You're not allowing Him to have entrance. You're not allowing Him to have His way. In the areas that we show sympathy towards sin, in the areas that we're sympathetic towards it and say, well, it's not a big deal, the enemy sets up camp. Come on. He'll move right in. He says, oh, there's a spot right there. They're disagreeing with the counsel of God. Come on, boys. Let's go mess them up. Let's go torment their mind for a while. And hopefully we can destroy them eventually. Come on. Has anybody ever known any Christians that got destroyed? That were shipwrecked in the faith? Sure. We have to be on guard, don't we? We have to guard our hearts. Be careful, little eyes, what you see, ears, what you hear, mouth, what you're saying, what kind of company you're keeping. David was a bold worshiper. Why did he have boldness? Because he was full of the power of God. He was full of God's presence. David, number two, was a wealthy man. And David was a military man. David was not some kind of limp wrist, whatever, fairy, as some ancient art may depict. David was a man's man. David was a man of valor. He was a warrior. He had fought in many battles. He was not some kind of effeminate figure of history. Are you with me? And the devil has lied to men, and he has told them that that worship stuff is for women. Come on. Some of you are saying, boy, I've heard that voice before. When God is telling me to open my heart, open my life, and worship Him, when God is telling me to dance before Him, I shut down because that would make me look like, you know. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about already. The devil is a liar. He wants men to think that Christianity is some kind of wimpy thing. Come on, it takes a real man to stand up, amen, for what he believes in. It takes a real man, amen, to carry this book and proclaim this word that goes against what society may say. It takes a true man, amen, to stand up. Anybody can carry a gun. But we've got the sword of the Spirit, amen?
Amen.
We've got the truth.
Yes.
And if you're carrying a gun, I'm not picking on you today. If you need to carry a gun, carry it. I'm talking about some people put their trust in these things. You know what I'm saying? That's their sense of security. How many have found that God is your security?
Amen.
You are my strong tower, my shelter against the enemy. And my enemies encamped around me, the Lord, amen, was my refuge. He was my strength. And so what we need is we need men who will rise up and be men of God, men of courage, men of valor, who will stand up and take the lead in our society, amen, in their homes, who will love and respect and honor their wives, not beat their wives, not abuse their wives, not belittle their wives, but men who will cherish and protect their wives as they do their own body. Because the two shall become one. David was a radical worshiper. He knew the Lord was the strength of his life. As a matter of fact, as you know, David embarrassed his wife, didn't he? Michal. As he danced before the Lord, and she says, do you realize what you did today out there? As he danced before the ark, as they were coming into Jerusalem, was it? And he was just rejoicing before the Lord. And he just said, you know, in full abandon, I'm going to worship my God. Now, this is a man, a warrior, okay, that danced before the Lord. And it says that he danced with all his might. That means he actually put his physical strength into his dance. I know some people are too spiritual for that. But David danced with his might. It was actually a dance. He just danced in the Spirit. Yes, the Spirit of God was motivating him. But he danced with his might. Now, if you dance like that, I'm not picking on you. You dance before the Lord the way He designs you, okay? What I'm trying to say, folks, is that there's a place. You know what? I don't care if you've ever danced before. I'm not one that's good at dancing, all right? If you try to get me to do a choreographed dance, forget it. But there's times in my life where I just let go and I say, I'm going to worship the Lord, and I'm going to worship Him in every way. I'm going to worship Him with my mind. I'm going to worship Him with my full heart. Amen? And in my strength too, and in my body too, I'll worship the Lord. And I have found such a freedom sometimes when I just begin to dance before the Lord and just rejoice and let go. Lean back in His arms and let go. Hallelujah. He was a worshiper. He was bold. He was a wealthy man. He was a military man. And then he said in 2 Samuel 6:22, when his wife rebuked him, he says, "And I will be even more undignified than this." Sorry if your suit got messed up, right? "And will be humble in my own sight, but as for my maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor." Do you know that people and men that will stand up for their God will be held in honor?
Yes.
Folks, people may hate you, but they'll respect you. Come on. If you stand up for the truth, they may hate you, but there's something in them that's saying, boy, I respect a person, though, who's their own person. They're not everybody's person. They're their own person. They're who they are as a gift to humanity. Each one of us as individuals need to have that same stand. You are an individual, but you make up, amen, the body of Christ. And we're a part of this big thing. It's bigger than we are. But be who you are, because if you're not who you are, somebody's going to miss who you are. And you need to be who you are, just as you are, as God has designed you. Amen. He made you the way He made you for a reason. So be happy for who you are. I know the world is pursuing this person and this celebrity and wanting to be like this and wanting to be, oh, if I could only be like that. They don't realize that most of the time those people, when they finally got to what they thought they wanted in life, then they're saying, now what? Many of them end up in despair. I mean, they end up just completely defeated at the end of their life. They achieved all the goals they set for themselves. They got to those goals, and now what's left? What's next? Okay, I got the house, I got the boat. Now what? No U-Hauls going to heaven? Who are we living for? Who are we living for? Are we living for eternity? You know, there's something, folks. I tell you, I've spoken this. I've said this many times. But God, deliver me from the opinions of men. so that my life, I'm not being manipulated and controlled like a puppet, just trying to please everybody all the time. Because you end up being somebody's puppet. And you don't be who you are. You be for whoever. Come on, have we seen that in politics recently? Be what everybody wants me to be. And then eventually you find out who they really are anyways. Because they can't live up to that. Nobody can. Do yourself a favor. Be who you are. Under the anointing. Amen? Because you are a gift to others. Even though David, as we know, he had his flaws. Aren't you glad? All right? You're not the only one that has flaws here. And I just recently discovered I had flaws too. But David realized that he had flaws, and obviously he had blown it, all right? But he had a heart that pursued God's heart. The difference was, is that he still pursued God. He still loved God. He still wanted to be with the Lord. He wanted to stay close to God. He had a heart after God, even though he blew it, and he was ashamed, obviously. Because what he thought was going to fulfill him actually ended up, you know, causing him grief the rest of his days. And isn't that the way sin is? It presents itself as something desirable, but in the end it produces death. But he still had a heart, and he came back, and then in that psalm he said, Lord, create in me a clean heart. It was a heart of repentance. God, renew a right spirit within me, a steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Do you need your salvation? The joy of your salvation restored. It may be something that you need to deal with. There may be something God is dealing with you about. See, if you want the love, you want the joy, you want to get back, you've got to return to me. You've got to come back. You need to pursue, set your heart, amen, to pursue God's heart. And how many have ever been disappointed when you set your heart to seek the Lord? Has anybody, just raise your hand if you've been disappointed by doing that. Okay, how many have been disappointed by not seeking the Lord? Oh, okay, that answers the question right there. Okay. So let us not just go away and say, well, that was a good sermon, but. Get the butt out, all right? And we all know this as New Testament believers in Hebrews 4:16, that we have the privilege to approach the throne of grace, right? To come before God's presence boldly, Hebrews 4:16, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. How do we do this? Folks, we do this through praise, through worship and prayer. Through praise, through worship, through prayer, amen? Through giving of thanks. We come into His presence so we might receive, amen, the life, the grace of God in our being. We cannot make it apart from Him. So if you're dry in your soul, you need a good worship time with Jesus. Amen. Yes. Don't wait till the church doors open up. There's a lot of Christians that they go to the church like it's some kind of filling station. And I encourage you to come to church. You should be here. And you do get filled here, I hope. Yes. If you don't, it's your fault. Right? Come on. God's moving. He hasn't stopped moving. It's just we got to get in agreement with Him. Come on, we say, oh, God is moving over there. No, God is moving everywhere. You just got to get into agreement with Him. You don't have to run over here and run over there. You just need to run to Him. Right where you're at. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have a secret place. It's called your heart. Where you can commune with God. Where you can be refreshed in God. Where you can receive His life. Hallelujah. By agreeing with Him. Worship puts you and I where we need to be. To face life. Folks, if we don't ever learn to be worshipers of God, we're going to live often a defeated life. Yeah, you'll have your good days, as the people that don't know God have their good days too. But as we worship God, as we walk in a place of worship, knowing that I don't have to run over here or run over there, I can meet with God wherever I'm at. Yes, did you know you can have revival in Walmart? Yes. You can have revival on the job, working at the machine, whatever you're doing. Hallelujah. Driving down the road in your car. Because the presence of the Lord goes with you.
Yes.
Why is it important we come together? Because each one of us are like an individual cloud. And as we are seeding the cloud through worship and praise and thanksgiving, then the Lord fills our vessel. And then when we come together, we create a big cloud. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, if we subtract, of course, you know, the Holy Spirit from this, what's going on today, come on, we might as well just stay home, right?
Right.
Or we can maybe go down and have a nice potluck dinner, have a good social hour. But if we miss God, folks, we've missed the purpose.
Right.
It's about His presence. We need to be lovers of His presence. David loved the presence of the Lord. He had a passion for Him. You know, what you're passionate about is what you're willing to sacrifice for. If you are a passionate person, amen, you're passionate about, say, you love cars, or you like restoring automobiles. If you're passionate about that, you will work all kinds. You'll work hours into the night to bring restoration to that vehicle. Come on. You will sacrifice. If your passion is making money, you'll work hours and hours and kill yourself so you have more money. Right? Now, I don't encourage that. Take care of your needs. Take care of your family. But take care of your body too, right? Don't kill yourself. Don't overwork to be rich, the Bible says. But whatever your passion is, if you are passionate, truly passionate for Jesus, that will produce something. It will produce a willingness to pay the price, if you will, to set myself aside, to get myself, amen, in position to seek His face, to call on Him, to worship Him, to cry out to Him, to wait until the Lord comes and fills my life, because I'm coming into agreement. I'm passionate for His presence. And I say, Lord, if there's anything in my life, anything in my heart that needs to get right, I want to get right. I don't want anything to come between us. Because I want to be filled with Your Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with Your glory. And then the people will say, wow, the light's on in Cliff's house. And we ain't talking about the house made by hands. The light's on. He's a bright light because he's got a heart for God. You know, you and I can sit here and we can watch other people enter in. And we can have the same attitude as David's wife, Michal. You know, say, oh, look at them over there making a fool of themselves. Do you know what? He cursed her. She had no children by David. But he said, I'm going to be held in high esteem of those. You know, the maidservant said, she was saying, oh, you look what you did. How you were so undignified out there. How many know that... We got to get over ourselves. We got to get past ourselves to get to Him. If we are self-conscious, we can't be Christ-conscious. I got to get my eyes off. People are looking at... Oh, wait a minute. I'm looking in the wrong direction. I'm looking in. How many know that the problem is inside? It's not... The solution is not in, that's the problem, in the sense that in my flesh, in my old nature, there's no good thing. But I need to turn my eyes upon Jesus. When I do that, I have to turn away from myself. When I set my heart to seek God, I have to turn away from myself. When I turn away from myself, all of a sudden I find myself getting lost in a place in the Spirit where, you know what? I can laugh at people that mock me. You don't know what you're missing.
Yes.
Huh. I'll be even more undignified than this. Come on. You're always going to have somebody that's going to say, oh, look how they're acting over there. Can you believe that they're, you know. It's like, what are you doing? Pay attention. Get your eyes off them and get your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes. Is that your job to come here and judge other people's worship? No. We don't have that problem here, right? No. Not for very long. They don't usually last here very long. So you got to either get in the river or get out, right? It's like no splashing around in the kiddie pool here. Jesus made mention of David because he was a man after God's own heart. And of course, we know that Jesus came through the lineage of David as well. He was the son of David. But we have this privilege in him to come. And by Isaiah 40 and verse 31 says, those who wait upon the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. Do you need your strength renewed? Man, you need revival in your soul. Have a worship time with Jesus, all right? Just put it, turn the TV off, turn the distractions off, get alone with God. Hallelujah. When the church doors are open, come together with God's people. Amen? You need to encourage one another. And so much more as we see the day of the Lord approaching. We're not to forsake our assembling together. David was a worshiper. He established a 24-hour-a-day worship. He had singers and musicians that came together 24/7 that were worshiping and praising God. Can you imagine, folks, how glorious that was? Wow. Do you know what, folks? You and I can do the same thing as individuals. And then, again, we say it, don't we? And when you are prepared, when we come together, wow. If you've got 100 people that come and say, well, I'm going to get Phil. I'm just all beat down in the world, blah, blah, blah. And you come and you go, oh, that was great. Well, come on, folks. You can't live off somebody else's anointing. No. Yes. Amen? There's only so much time you can spend riding somebody else's shirt tail. You need to know how to get a hold of God yourself. Yes. If you get 100 people coming to church and they're all like, you know, beat down, dried up, you know. Well, how's it going, brother? Oh, let me tell you. You know, and you walk into a church like that when everybody, just about the majority of people are like that, it's like, man, I don't know if I want to be here. Come on. Before we even come through those doors, you don't have to wait to get here to deal with that stuff. Jesus said, cast all your cares on me, right? Come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come to me and rest. In other words, be ready, be filled, be refreshed. And when you come together, we're going to create a glory cloud that's just going to be explosive.
Amen.
How many know that we're in the presence right now?
Yes.
See, David allowed himself to become distracted. And you know, the story goes, he fell in lust for Bathsheba. But other than that, it was only when he allowed himself to be distracted that he fell in sin. And then he understood later that what he got out of the relationship was not nearly worth what he had to suffer. And David said in Psalms 84 and verse 2, my soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. His whole being, he worshiped God. That means with his mind, his strength. Amen? Spirit, I spread out my hands to you. Psalms 143 and verse 6. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Psalms 84:10 in the New Living Translation says this, a single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. How many found that to be true? I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. That's what he's saying. In the New King James it says, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. In essence, what he was saying is, I would rather have the lowest job next to God than the highest away from Him. The point is, his presence was more important to him than anything else. It didn't matter if he gained the world. He had the wealth. He had the accolades. He had the fame. But what mattered to David the most was his greatest treasure was the presence of the Lord. That I may abide in the house of the Lord forever. I may always be in that place with you, Lord, of intimacy and enjoying the refreshing of your presence. That was his pursuit. And folks, you and I, whether you're in a dry time right now or not, pursue God. It's only a matter of time if you set your heart and you get into agreement with God that he's going to come and he's going to give you everything you need. He's going to refresh and he's going to complete you. But you've got to agree with God. You need to repent. Worship may start as a sacrifice, but it's not very long. I mean, you know, sometimes you just don't feel like doing anything. That's where it becomes a sacrifice of praise. There's times I got to come in here and I got to preach, and I'm like, oh God, I got to go preach tonight. You may think it's always like, oh, I get to. Sometimes, folks, I don't feel that way. I'm just being honest with you. However, I found a secret, and it's not a secret anymore, that God has given me access to Him. Amen? And I just get into worship. I just start, hallelujah, I just start preparing myself. Get up in the morning, I just start singing and praising the Lord and worshiping. And spring. And if you pray in tongues, I pray in tongues. And it's not long, and I'm just walking in a refreshing in my own spirit. Hallelujah. And by the time we get down here and it gets to the time of the pulpit, God's always faithful. He just say, okay, you're on your own. He never does that. When we step out for Him, He's there. When we obey Him, He manifests Himself. God's promise to His covenant people, as through the prophet Jeremiah, he was talking about a sin-sick, backslidden condition of the people in that day. But he said that this is the promise of God for His people Israel. And how many know that you and I are spiritual Israel? We have been grafted in through Christ. And we have become blessed people, even as we've come under the blessings of Abraham. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness. The voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. The voice of those who will say, that's Jeremiah 33:11, the praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endures forever, and of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause the captives of the land to return as at the first, says the Lord. Folks, if you feel that you are in a prison in your own body and your own self, God can set you free. How many know He knows how to break open the doors and sets captives free? But you've got to come into agreement, first of all, and say, God, whatever it is you want me to do, I'm going to do my part. I'm coming into agreement with you. You open the door, and then God comes in, and He chases out your enemies. Are you with me? He breaks the oppression off you. He sets your mind, your spirit free, that you can worship Him. And you can have joy in His presence. Worship positions the heart. Worship positions the heart to receive the grace of God. When we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, He lifts us up. When we acknowledge our poverty and our need for Him, amen, we're putting ourselves in the position to receive from Him. When we agree with His counsel, we're putting ourselves in the position to receive from Him. When we change our minds and agree with God's ways, we're opening up the way, the door, the path for God to come, amen, and fill our lives. Amen. Without a heart of worship, we cannot receive the grace of God. Amen. David was a man after God's own heart. My question to us this morning, are you a man and a woman that is in pursuit of God, pursuit of His heart, who desires to know Him, who yearns for His presence? As David said, my heart and soul cry out, my flesh cry out to the living God. Do we have that heart, folks? That's the heart that is in position to receive the grace of God, that will break every yoke off your life, that will position you, amen, for His power, so that you can go about and destroy the works of the devil. Amen? If we are worshipers, we are in position in the Spirit to effect change in our world. People who close their door, they may come to church, they may listen to the messages, they may get the tapes, they may get the CDs, they can listen to over and over again, and they can get all kinds of intellectual knowledge, and they can have all kinds of Bible knowledge, and they can win a Bible debate, amen, and they'll argue you under the table at the Bible study, but their heart is far from Him. Are you with me? Why? If we don't agree with the counsel of God, we're not making a way for Him to come in. And so all that knowledge just becomes head knowledge, and it's not heart understanding. That's the difference. We see two kinds of people, amen? Two types of people. Those who agree that the counsel of God is good, and they prepare a way, and God reveals Himself to those babes. He reveals to the young ones who say, Abba! Daddy! As the baby birds will cry out for food. They're opening their hearts, they're opening their mouths, and say, Mama, feed me. When we position ourselves through repentance, when we position ourselves by humbling ourselves and realizing that apart from Him, I can do nothing. And that's what Jesus meant, isn't it, when He said in John 15, unless you abide in Me, and My words abide in you. In other words, you agree with My counsel. You come into agreement. Come on, just can two walk together except they be agreed? Then, you'll ask what you want. It'll be given to you. You want your prayers answered? Start agreeing with His counsel. Say, God, we're going to do it Your way. I'm going to do it Your way. I don't care. My way doesn't matter. My opinion doesn't matter. There's so many opinions here this morning, right? Your opinion, my opinion, it doesn't matter. It's God's way that matters. It's that you and I agree to get in the way. On the road, on the path, in agreement with God, and make a way for Him so He can fill our lives, and we'll be like David, amen? We will, hallelujah, be successful in defeating our enemies. Why was David successful? Because of the anointing. Because of the presence of the Lord. How was Samson effective? How did he overcome his enemies? He didn't have enough physical strength in himself, did he? It was the anointing, it was the presence of the Lord that gave him that supernatural strength to defeat the thousands. Are you with me this morning? All right. God bless you. If you enjoyed this today, did you get anything?
Yes.
Maybe it may not be a new revelation, but how many know we need to be reminded?
Yes.
We need to stir up that gift within us too.